Thank you, Elder Yap, for the kind introduction. I was born on the year of the rabbit. So I hope that God will receive this poor rabbit in heaven, and I will enjoy heaven's glory together with all the other saints who love the Lord Jesus and are doing the Lord's work and bringing many to Christ. I'm so happy to be back in this old sanctuary, made new, after so many years of being away. We spent many years in the beautiful city of Melbourne. And I would recommend you, if you want to relocate, come to Melbourne. You will enjoy four seasons in a day. If you get tired of one season, you just wait a few hours and you get another season coming up. But Melbourne is a beautiful city. We have a BP church there, and I pastored the Ebenezer Bible Presbyterian Church. It has a lively congregation, and by the grace of God, we have a proper session, and there is now a new pastor taking over from me. It's wonderful to see the church growing. By the way, you think that Melbourne is a Western country. It isn't. It's very Asian. Wherever you go, you hit a Chinese. There are flocks and flocks of Chinese. And I mean flocks because they swarm the city of Melbourne all the way from mainland China. They come to enjoy the beautiful city of Melbourne. This morning, I'm so happy to be back. I somehow feel that your sanctuary has enlarged. It looks bigger than I used to think. It's a perception. Maybe there are more people, and all the pews are filled up. By the grace of God, time has moved and we are doing the work of the Lord together, and you in your small corner and I in mine. And so it's wonderful that I can come back after so many years to see old friends and to be introduced to new people. It's so wonderful to, as I scan across familiar faces. The Lord has been good to us. I won't tell the same story again of retirement. I have retired. In the true dictionary sense, not according to Australian sense, true dictionary sense. But making myself available to preach wherever the Lord will enable me, and also to help in one way or another the younger ministers in the Lord. And we thank God that our BB Church is also marching on into this new century. And we thank God for faithful pastors who carry on the banner of the Bible Presbyterian Church. And so this morning I thought of the subject, the fear of the Lord. It's taken from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a beautiful psalm. When the first astronaut landed on the moon in 1969, Neil Armstrong, who was a great evangelical, he read from Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." And so we thank God for men who love the Lord and who can see the glory of God. And so we see that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. I will read to you what Spurgeon has written about Psalm 19. He says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, the firmament displaying the work of his hands. Day unto day welleth forth speech, night unto night breatheth out knowledge." All you need to see is to look into the moonlight sky, clear moonlight sky, and you will see the glory of God. And we look into this particular verse from Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord. This is something which we would like to know. What does the psalmist mean by fear? We think of fear as phobia, but the psalmist isn't talking about that. The fear of the Lord is reverential fear. Or you may put it in another word, reverential awe of who he is and what God means to us who are believers. And so we see in this particular psalm the glory of God. When we come to understand the fear of the Lord, today's world does not believe in God anymore. Today, Singapore, by the grace of God, because the churches are still alive and serving, the Christians are on the march, there is still the fear of God in our country. And I would like all of us who belong to this country to give a sense of fear to our friends and our neighbors, to our colleagues, and wherever we work or wherever we are, that they will fear the Lord. And so this morning I think of this fear of the Lord as the psalmist has given to us. When Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, he looked back into the earth. He read from Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." Isn't that wonderful that the hand of God is still present with us today, in spite of the fact that we live in a godless world, God rejecting world? But we thank God for churches that are still preaching the word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will urge you, and I want to encourage you to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and to extend the gospel to those who are outside the Lord. And so this morning we look at the fear of the Lord. The psalmist is very clear. It is a reverential fear of God and who he is. And we look at this God from three aspects. First, the greatness of God. God is great, isn't he? Whether you like it or not, whether you believe in him or not, it does not matter. God is still great. Secondly, the goodness of God. In spite of the fact that men sin and continue to sin, in spite of the fact that many advanced countries have rejected Christ and God, still God is good to all and sundry. Sometimes in our hearts we will say, why God should punish this country or that country for being God rejecting. And yet God's patience is held. And the reason is God is good. And we want to be sure in our heart that we know that He is a good God and He cares for us. And then how do we respond? If God is great and if God is good, then we must be grateful. The gratitude of men. How often we see that man has forgotten God and are not grateful to Him for providing us with so many things that we do not really deserve. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Let us look at the greatness of God. Some years ago, we had a visitor in Melbourne. He's a Christian theologian. His name is called Dr. Gary Cohen. Does that name mean anything to you? Cohen is a Jewish name. And Cohen means a priest. But Dr. Gary Cohen is not a priest. He's a BP pastor. But I mentioned him not because of his name Cohen, but because he was an astronomer. He came to Melbourne and he helped us identify the dark sky. Well, I should say bright sky. Melbourne is cloudless, not like Singapore, with clouds everywhere. But on a nice dark night, you can see the clouds, no, you can see the sky and all the beautiful stars. And Dr. Gary Cohen says, look at that big star. Do you know what star that is? It's Jupiter. Jupiter is the brightest star on a cloudless night. And then he showed me the Southern Cross. The Southern Cross is actually a mariner's guide. If a sailor gets lost, looks at the Southern Cross and it guides the mariner to land. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, he looked back at Earth and he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How great is our God? Yes, our God is really great. It doesn't take too much of difficulty to demonstrate to you from the sky what the stars could tell and teach us. But let me say something which is very close to the heart of new lifers. Many years ago, and it was on that night when we were preparing for the wedding of Suzanne and Tiong Peng, and I see Mrs. Lim somewhere. That night when Suzanne and Tiong Peng were being prepared, it was a rehearsal for the wedding. Four strange people walked into this room, into this hall. And they said to me, the guy who was fluent in English, the rest were not. That guy said to me, he says, we want to be Christians. Can you help us to be Christians? And I was taken much aback because they look not like any one of you. Maybe some, I'm trying to see if any Indian here spouting a lot of beard. Not like any one of us. And they said, we are from Iran. We have come to Kuala Lumpur and ask the church there to help us to become Christians. And the pastor there was trembling in his the colloquial language is in his pants. He said, no, we are not allowed to evangelize people like you. So from Kuala Lumpur, they made their way to Singapore, and they landed up in YMCA in the city, and they asked them, can you show us a church? And the guy at the counter says, there's a bus outside. You take the bus and it'll bring you to the church. And that bus terminated just outside New Life. And that evening, I was shocked to see these people come in. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems to me that the Bethlehem star had shone again. If you recall the Bethlehem star, that it moved, and wise men from the east followed that star, and it rested over where the Christ child lay in Bethlehem. But this modern star brought them to Kuala Lumpur, and by train to Singapore, and by bus to New Life, and they landed up here, we want to be Christians. Wow, how amazing it is that anyone who desires to find God will find Him. Some of the old people here, older members rather, would have remembered the Iranians who were baptized in this church, and they stayed 3 months and then went home rejoicing, having found the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatness of God. Can you imagine God to be that great? Yes, the star of Bethlehem shone 2,000 years ago, shone again in our lifetime, and men and women have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the sky, the Bible calls this the general revelation of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth His handiworks. The firmament showeth forth His handiworks. Suggest to us that God is known, can be known, will be known, if you will only humble yourself to look at God's creation. That's general revelation. But God has done more than that. He has given us what is called by the theologians special revelation. And in 2 verses from the Bible, you'll see that very clearly. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. That's special revelation. In God's calendar, in God's good time, He sent His Son. Before his son came, it was general revelation. But after Christ came, it is his son who has declared God to us. He that hath seen me has seen my Father also, said the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul was in Athens one day, and in Athens, it was a Greek city, and he debated with the Athenians. But he said something very interesting. He says, as I passed by and behold your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And Paul preached Christ. And the Athenians, many of them, especially the women, believe in Jesus Christ, the greatness of God. The greatness of God must be also seen in the goodness of God. What is man? The psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Also reading from Job, chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow. He continueth not. What does that mean? Man is transient, frail, like a flower. Today we are, tomorrow we are not. When was the last time we saw each other? I thought I was a young man then. But today I'm frail. And before too long, the honor roll will call and I'll be ascended to heaven. Man is frail. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by virtue of strength they be 80 years, yet it's labor and sorrow. Let me tell you, I am laboring and sorrowing right now because I've just passed the 70 years. And all of you will have to meet your day too, because man on earth is transient, but eternity awaits us when we see God. And therefore we see the goodness of God. God is good. Man is no good. And yet, man is God's beloved. That he sent his only begotten Son in order to save us unto himself. What a humbling thought it is, that in spite of what we are and who we are, Jesus Christ came to save us. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's a way in which God in Christ Jesus has given us that it be possible for us to meet our Creator. And so today, as we come in worship this morning, as we await his soon return, let us remember, as Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We continue day by day, week by week, to feed on the word of God in anticipation when Jesus, the bread of life, will return to take us home. That is the goodness of God. He is not only great, he is also good. And if you will stand and wait and observe God's goodness. You'll never be disappointed that God is good to us. I speak to Singaporeans who have just celebrated their 50th anniversary. Were you not proud to be a Singaporean? But I must not miss those who are not Singaporeans, that you have lived in our country, in this city of prosperity. God has blessed us in many ways that we cannot but thank Him and praise Him and serve Him. This is the goodness of God. Not only His greatness is known to us, but His goodness is known to us. Therefore, we can say, and I must say this to all believers, that we must be grateful. The gratitude of men. Oftentimes, we fail to note to be grateful. We wait for big things to happen and then we are grateful. But every day, small things happen and we ought to be grateful. Marsiling has changed since the last time I visited it. It's more crowded, I think. I haven't had a chance to look at the faces of people in Marsiling. I hope they look happier, healthier, and rejoicing that Marsiling is now a big metropolis. I use the word metropolis, meaning it's not a place where nobody wants to live. Oh, I remember when we first came up to Marsiling, people say that Marsiling is very far away, almost like it's a journey to Alostar. There were not many buses. People had to be tempted to take up empty flats. When we began, there were just a handful of us, perhaps 40 or 50 of us, coming together. But things began to change. Well, when MRT came, that's the big change. Everybody rushed to come and live in Marsiling and in Woodlands. And those of you who chose to come early would have seen your property double, triple, quadruple, and now almost impossible to for anyone to buy from you. God has been good, isn't it? Yes, we thank God for that, and we must be grateful. And I'm glad for those who live in this part of Singapore. We are grateful to God. But more importantly, we must be grateful for God for the redemption that He has given to us. We know that man cannot save himself. Job says, how can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? But we can, because Jesus Christ has come and has given us life eternal. But to some who may not have quite grasped it, what is it that we must be grateful? I give a warning from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This is something which many Singaporeans fail to grasp, especially SG50. I do not know how much have you gotten from the SG50. I don't know whether we have, I must ask my wife, have we gotten our money yet? If we have not, we must go and find out how to get the SG50 package. Singapore can give you the SG package, but it's only once. You have to wait another 50 years to get the next one. But redemption from God to us is always available. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is a judgment, is a clear indication that God will judge the wicked. Death is not only physical, because judgment is spiritual. And the call for us is, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is no escape for those who are outside Christ to be saved. Only one way. Because the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Let's proclaim it. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And if you have that which is valuable and priceless, then let's give it to our loved ones and those near and dear to us, that they too may be saved and come to faith in Jesus Christ. The gratitude of men speaks about our gratitude to God for having saved us, and it is for us to share the gospel of Christ. I'm very happy to see this sanctuary full. 10 years ago, it was maybe a third of this number, but now it's full. Maybe it's because more and more people come to live in Woodlands and Marsiling. But I like to think that it's because you went out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in early years, we did. We went door to door. And we gave tracts out. Our kindergarten is doing a fantastic job. In fact, I'm told that our kindergarten is the best in this area. Is that true? It must be true. Keep up the good work. People must see that New Life stands as a sentinel of the gospel. And New Life is where the people will come to find faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure that your children know the Lord Jesus and love Him and serve Him. Make sure that your neighbors know that on Sunday you go to church. Do not be afraid to carry a Bible. Nowadays, people carry handphone. Oh, that's my Bible. But who knows that's a Bible? Carry a Bible. And then they will know that you are going to church. The old days, when there are no handphones, we carry something on our hand. That would be the Bible. May God help us all in these last days to proclaim His gospel, not to be ashamed of Him. You are here for a purpose, and I'm glad that New Life has life in you. Do the work of God. proclaim His word and bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the salvation that is free in Christ Jesus, because He has given it to us, and now it is for us to share with others who do not know Jesus Christ. Bless this church, O Lord, and help each one to continue to serve you to the best of their ability. O Lord, we pray, as we wait for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be found always sharing the gospel wherever we go and wherever we are. May thy word be powerful and be seen in our lives. For we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.